magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, September 27th, 2016. Still feeling sick, and as was the case yesterday, you'll hear a great message from last Tuesday. So, we'll continue with our topic on peace, as preached this past Sunday by Senior Pastor Herb Coates at the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church. And if you were tuned in yesterday, I shared the first 16 or so minutes of his approximately 30, 35-minute message, and we'll continue right where we left off yesterday, as Pastor Herb was laying the groundwork about experiencing peace with God and extending that peace to others, that we truly can't understand the wonderful gift of peace until we recognize the Prince of Peace and what Jesus did on our behalf so that we can have peace with God. And so today we'll be talking a little more about being peacemakers and reflecting God to the world around us. But so that I have peace of mind, let me quickly cover about these 6 or 8 post-it notes I have in front of me, as a few are filled with some God sighting updates, some must-attend events for this weekend, a few shout-outs, and gratitude to God for all that he's doing through this radio ministry. But one update, as you might have heard last week, we mentioned that we had a piano loaned to us from Lincoln Square Mall, but we needed it tuned. Well, a special listener, thank you, Nancy Gill, called in and said, hey, I'll pay for the piano to be tuned, which happened on Friday. Thank you, God, for Rhodey Piano Tuning and Repair, as they came in right away, tuned it, applied a discount. So last night, our new accompanist, Pierre Tang, played it to God's glory as we rehearsed really hard, because this Sunday night at 6 p.m. we'll be putting on a concert hosted by the St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church Congregation at Schwer, S-C-H-W-E-R, so around the Milford area, 1812 East 1130 North Road. So you're all invited this Sunday night, September 22nd, for a 6 p.m. concert in Milford, hosted by the St. John Evangelical Lutheran Congregation at Schwer. S-C-H-W-E-R. I'm probably butchering that name, but we worked really hard last night. And thank you, Nancy, for being creative and helping us get that piano tuned. The Cookie Lady struck again. Marge Cookie Lady Ketchum had her sidekick Herb, the radio servant, deliver cookies yesterday, butterscotch, fresh ones. So all the guys were pampered once again with homemade cookies. Thank you, God, for Randy Houston and Houston Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, and Randy's special assistant, Eric, as they rescued us. Our home air conditioning hasn't been working for about 3 or 4 weeks. We've been doing the old-fashioned thing, kind of what most of us grew up with, just fans going in the window. And now that it's actually cooling, it wasn't so bad the last few days, but we finally got our air conditioning recharged, and so we appreciate Randy and Eric. Today, if you go by Lincoln Square Mall, you might see our Great News Radio sign going up. Actually, 2 signs, one on the north and south side of the big mall sign. It'll say Great News Radio and have our logo there. I think it's about the 3rd panel up, so be looking for that and say a prayer as you drive by Lincoln Square. Let's see, this Thursday at noon, I'll be sharing some testimonies about this radio ministry for the Meadowbrook Champions Senior Luncheon. And so I have peace of mind as I finally figured out kind of my outline, a few stories that I'll share, and what I trust God is going to put on my heart that'll be a blessing to those of you that come out to the Meadowbrook Church. It's a senior luncheon at noon this Thursday, and you would need to call Meadowbrook Church to make reservations. And let's see, a couple other things that are happening this Saturday. There's the Wellness and Brain Fitness Fair at Marketplace Mall, not to be confused with Lincoln Square Mall, where there's the Great News Radio Center. But the Wellness and Brain Fitness Fair will run from 10 to 2 p.m. Great News Radio will be set up with a table with ministry resources. So come on over. You can win prizes. There's a lot of other sponsors, and there'll be a lot of activities. So that's 10 to 2 p.m. this Saturday at Marketplace Mall in Champaign. And then finally, Falling for a Cause is also happening this Saturday, September 24th, at Centennial Park in Champaign. We're one of the sponsors where we're helping announce and promote the purchasing of mattresses, and they're going to have this human domino thing going on. And so you may look for some of our great news radio signs. And I haven't figured out how I'm going to multitask and be at two different places at the same time. But worst case scenario, you'll see some great news radio signs there. And I know some of our listeners have purchased the mattresses, so they'll be a part of that falling dominoes where everyone holds on to their mattresses and then they do the domino thing. All right, now to get to the rest of the message, as preached this past Sunday at the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church by their senior pastor, Pastor Herb Coates, a great friend of this ministry and of Holly and mine. As Pastor Herb, along with Pastor Jason, co-married Holly and I over 3.5 years ago and have been so blessed by both of their ministry in our lives and through their preaching of God's Word. And this past Sunday, I was so impressed and touched and encouraged that I felt compelled to share his message with you all. Now, one thing it's made clear, being a peacemaker for the Lord Jesus Christ is not easy. But Jesus made it clear in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." So please listen in as Pastor Herb Coates continues with his message on the topic peace. And may you find points of application as you make sure that you're at peace with God, that you're leading others to be at peace with God, and that you're at peace with those around you. Here's Pastor Herb Coates.
Now, the second key term I want us to reflect on is that we are to be peacemakers. Now, the word "make" in the term peacemakers comes from the Greek word poio. It's a strong word that means to do, to make. Peace must be made. It doesn't just happen by chance. Jesus didn't say, "Blessed are the peace wishers," or "Blessed are the peace hopers," or "Blessed are the peace dreamers." He says, "Blessed are the peace makers." We are called to actively bring the peace of Jesus Christ. So what then is a peacemaker like? Well, to begin with, a peacemaker is a realist. If there's a problem, she admits it. The prophet Jeremiah warns against those who act as if everything is all right when it's not. He said, "They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace." Peacemaker doesn't do that. He's painfully honest about the true state of peace in the world, in the society in which he lives, in his own personal relationships. She admits failed relationships. She admits that she's at odds with others, if that is the case. She honestly acknowledges if others have something against her. She does not pretend that things are as they are not. She refuses to say peace, peace, when there is no peace. Peacemaker is not only a realist, a peacemaker is also an activist. The basic tenor of Scripture is that as followers of Jesus Christ, we are to make peace. Romans 12:18 says, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." Romans 14:19 says, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification." James writes, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness." Now, our Lord Himself is, of course, the supreme peacemaker. And there's nothing cheap about his peacemaking. Paul wrote, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Christ saw the gravity of our situation and he did not sweep things under the rug. Only a drastic solution would suffice. So he made peace through his blood. Jesus not only made peace possible, peace with God and peace among men, he gave us an example of how the peacemaker goes about his work. Paul writes about that to the Philippians. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. The third key term I want you to notice is the phrase children of God. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. The word called here means to be owned. So we could translate this beatitude this way. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be owned as children of God. And what Jesus is saying here is that peacemakers will be known and recognized as what they really are, children of God. You know, growing up, I loved it when people would say, you're just like your dad. In fact, that's one of the biggest compliments I can receive to this day, because I love my dad and I've always wanted to be like him. I've always considered it a great compliment when people have seen something in me that reminded them of my father. In the same way, when you and I practice and promote peace, a watching world ought to be asking, are you a child of God? Because peacemakers bear a family resemblance and reflect something of our Heavenly Father's character. Now let's try to get this down into shoe leather. We can talk about the importance of peacemaking, but until we put peace into practice, it's just words. Let me share with you three application steps you can take. First of all, make sure you are at peace with God. If you have not yet put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible describes your situation this way. It says you're at war with God. And there's no way to have the peace of God until you know the God of peace. Years ago, Admiral Nelson won a battle at sea against the French, and the French admiral came up to him to surrender. And he was dressed in his full regalia with medals pinned to his shoulders and his sword hung by his side. And he reached out his hand to Lord Nelson as if they were now friends. And Lord Nelson stepped back and he said, your sword first. Friend, you can't just come up and shake hands with Jesus without laying down your sword. You must surrender. And you can only have peace with God through surrender to God. Let me illustrate. A century ago, a Presbyterian evangelist and a songwriter named Wilbur Chapman asked the founder of the Salvation Army, William Booth, if he could explain why his work had prospered so. And he hesitated for a second, and Dr. Chapman said, and then I saw tears come into his eyes and steal down his cheeks. And then he said, sir, I will tell you the secret. God has had all of me. There have been men with greater brains, men with greater opportunities. But from the day I got the poor of London on my heart and a vision of what Jesus Christ could do with the poor of London, I made up my mind that God would have all of William Booth that there was. And if there's any power in the Salvation Army today, he said, it's because God has all the adoration of my heart, all the power of my will, and all of the influence of my life. All the adoration of my heart, all the power of my will, and all the influence of my life. That's all he said. But what struck me about this story is what Dr. Chapman said when he was away from that meeting with General Booth. He realized that the greatness of a man's power is the measure of a man's surrender. Have you surrendered your life to God? The degree to which you will have peace with God and power for living depends upon the degree to which you surrender your life to God. Jesus' radical call to peacemaking demands that one must first personally experience the peace of God. No one can become a peacemaker until he or she has found that peace themselves. The tragedy of our time is that people don't go to the heart of this matter. Without grace, we naturally are enemies of God and of one another. We have to have our hearts changed. And when they are and His peace permeates our lives, then we can be peacemakers. We can only give what we have. We cannot impart what we do not possess. You cannot minister to others in their need if you yourself are in turmoil. You cannot bring rest to others if you yourself are storm-tossed. A favorite biblical epic movie for many is The Robe, which came out, half a century ago, I guess, anyway. stars Richard Burton as the centurion who was assigned to supervise the crucifixion of Jesus. In this film, Burton's character joins with his troops at the foot of the cross in gambling for Jesus' robe. And he wins, but he discovers that touching the robe causes him both physical and mental pain. And he develops a fear of the robe, which drives him mad. He has no peace. He can't eat or sleep. And repeatedly, he slips into a state in which he yells out, "Were you there? Did you see him? Did you hear him? Were you there?" And his servant, played by Victor Mature, becomes a Christian and leads Burton's character to realize that his madness, his lack of peace, is due to his need to have his sins forgiven. And his inner madness has nothing to do with the robe. No, it was a result of two conflicting realizations: the stark reality of his own sinful life and his awareness of Jesus' sinlessness, his cruel death on a cross that he didn't deserve. And so Burton's character finds no peace until he claims Jesus as his Lord and Savior, professing his faith that Jesus died in his place, even though that decision led to his own execution by the Emperor Caligula. And this film illustrates the truth that all of us live lives of unrest like this, lives of quiet madness, until we too make peace with God by asking for his forgiveness through Jesus Christ. We are simply not in a very good position to make peace beyond ourselves when we don't have peace within ourselves. And we would do well to search our own souls before we seek to correct others. It's Jesus' rule that we need to remove the log from our own eye before we take the speck out of our brother's eye. Secondly, lead others to be at peace with God. Ephesians 6:15 refers to believers having their feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. 2 Corinthians 5 says that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation as if God were making his appeal through us to others. I believe an important part of peacemaking is sharing the good news of peace to help others understand that their alienation from God can be ended. They can be at peace. You know, it's just a beautiful thing to bring people into a peaceful relationship with God. You want to be a peacemaker, point people to Jesus. Lastly, be at peace with those around you. Do you need to make things right with somebody today? Is there anybody you need to forgive? Do you need to ask forgiveness from anyone? Being at peace with those around you requires the kind of reconciliation one might call bridge building. 500 years ago or so, Martin Luther told a story of two goats that got on opposite ends of a log that spanned a creek. And they met in the center of the log where they encountered an impasse, and the goats couldn't go around each other and they couldn't back up. And if any progress was to be made, one goat had to kneel down, humble himself, and let the other goat walk over his back. Sometimes in our relationships at work or school or church or home, we have to kneel down and become the bridge for someone else's way to peace. Peacemakers are willing to lower themselves, to even lose their dignity, to bring peace to life. How can God use you to build bridges between people who are in conflict? I need to close. Some 700 years ago, a remarkable man was born. Although he was the son of an Italian cloth merchant and destined to be a knight, he gave up the path of wealth and fame. Instead, he chose to wear a ragged cloak tied with a rope he got from a scarecrow. And he spent his days preaching and giving to others. And he chose to live in utter poverty. History records that he was a noble, kind, humble, Christ-like man. We know him today as St. Francis of Assisi. Centuries after his death, someone translated one of his prayers into English. It was later set to music. Many of you know those words by heart. Let's read these words together, shall we? Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console. To be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Our problem tends to be at the level of motivation. We tend to despair, wondering, well, what can we do? But everybody can do something. As Ray Pritchard suggests, you've got a phone, make a call. You've got paper, write a letter. You've got a kitchen, make a meal. You've got a billfold, give some money. You've got two hands, put them to work for others. You've got two feet, go see a friend in pain. You've got two ears, listen to the cries of the wounded. You've got two eyes, lift them up to see the world as God sees it. You've got two lips, tell others the good news of Jesus and His love. Perhaps you've heard a version of this. I'm only one person, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And what I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do. Only God knows how much He can accomplish through us. All He asks is that we surrender our little contribution to Him and watch what He can do with it. Would you stand with me for prayer? Heavenly Father, I know You've spoken to me. I trust that You've spoken to many others here this morning as well. Father, I want to lift up any here this morning who are not experiencing the peace of God in their lives because their souls are sick right now. They're battling the ways of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and they have succumbed to that, and they know they're not in right relationship with You, and I pray that You would just speak to them, and You would remind them that if we confess our sins, You are faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank You for Your offer of peace for us. Help us to lay down our sword. Help us to surrender to You. And then, Lord, I pray for those who are in conflict with someone else. Reconciliation needs to be made. And I pray that You would help them to realize the way of the peacemaker is a person who is a realist and an activist. And we need to go to other people in humility and seek to be reconciled. So, Lord, I just pray that You will help us not to just suppress things, but help us to deal with issues biblically as You've called us to. We don't want to just be hearers of the Word, go from here and like it doesn't make any difference. We want to be doers of Your Word. So help us through the enabling power of Your Holy Spirit to take the steps that You're calling us to take. And for all the good You accomplish in and through us, we'll give You praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. And all of God's people say amen. I just love His points of application, how we all can do something. Do you have a phone? Make a call. Do you have paper? Write a letter. Do you have a kitchen? Make a meal. Do you have some resources? Give some money. Do you have two hands? Put them to work for others. Do you have two feet? Go see a friend in pain. Do you have two ears? Listen to the cries of the wounded. Do you have two eyes? Lift them up and see the world as God sees it. Do you have two lips? Tell others the good news of Jesus and His love. Yes, it's a high calling to be a peacemaker, but as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, as His disciples, and as ambassadors for the King, for Almighty God, we should be all about being peacemakers. Well, let me close out with a song by Steve Amerson. It's called Eternal Life, and it takes the prayer of Francis of Assisi and places them in these song lyrics, as my prayer would be that we all could be instruments of Almighty God's peace in the lives of others today. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
Lord, make me an instrument of Thy